Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. So, Jeffrey, Tuesday starts out here with an omelet. We have an omelet. What is happening to our radio station? They're, like, doing nice things for us and stuff. What is that all about? They have an omelet station out there.
The holidays have begun early.
Vicky from Panini Catering is out there making an omelet in the kitchen. She's making omelets. What would you put in your perfect omelet? What's the right answer?
I'm a ham, peppers, cheese guy.
Ham, peppers, cheese. Okay, I think we can all agree that cheese is essential.
Yes,
right? Like,
totally,
no matter who's listening out
non-negotiable.
There.
Non-negotiable.
The one thing that is non-negotiable
is
the cheese. Now, you can pick your cheese. I might like two times cheeses, but I like feta in an omelet. No? What are you reaching for? You're reaching for the buzzer. Go ahead. You can do it.
No, there was another one I was going for.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're anti-feta.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No feta, period?
No, thank you. Get the feta out of here.
I like the feta. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't have feta. Vicky had no feta. She said, I got bacon, cheese, tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Said no to the spinach and onion. That was it. Bacon, cheese, tomato, and onion. How do you feel about that?
I'm not an onions guy, but right. I recognize that that's a me thing.
Yeah.
That sounds like a solid omelet.
I thought it was a solid omelet. She makes omelets as this omelet station every morning around town. Sometimes, yesterday she was at Baptist, but then she'll go into homes too. And some homes that she goes to, she's got to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Because you don't want to be leaking what people want. You know, you don't want to be telling people that
Pit Hyde
likes feta in his omelets, you know?
And also, it's like, you know, if you got your own omelet station every morning, it might.
Oh, it's not. I don't think it's. This is a special, sort of a special occasion sort of thing. You know, like you have a party, you have a brunch at your house. You do that, and you have your, Anyway, nice of the 92.9 folks to treat us well. With the omelet station. We are also having a Christmas party, Jeffrey. Now, some years we have a Christmas party. Other years we don't. When we don't, we'll sometimes get a gift certificate or a gift card to go eat somewhere. Okay? Let me ask you, which is better? Christmas party, individual gift card to go take your sweetheart to go eat somewhere.
I kind of like the Christmas party.
You do?
Yeah.
It's much more, it builds camaraderie in a way that the individual card is like practical. You'll use it, whatever else. And maybe it depends how you feel about your coworkers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that like, that's part of it. I do think it's nice, like at the end of the year, if you will, to kind of get together and say like, hey, you know, thank you. Like, I think it's,
you like the party
in a group setting. I think it means more when you have everyone, like you acknowledge the good work in front of everyone.
That's nice, Jeffrey. That's nice.
That's
lovely.
In general, how
that's lovely. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Talk to him about the Grizzlies who play the Nuggets tonight. We've got injury reports, Jeffrey. The Nuggets, what do you make of this? Jokic questionable.
Again, we are really worried about the whole human being here. And if he is under stress, whatnot, I think it is important that he makes sure he takes his time.
You have
to
make sure, and this is something that Marshawn Lynch told us. You got to make sure your mentals are right.
Absolutely.
You know, your mentals. That's a word that didn't exist. The word mentals, it's like chicken fingers. It wasn't part of my youth. Mental is whatever, but mentals as a thing,
correct,
like as a shorthand for your mental well-being.
Yes.
That's a new thing.
Yes.
Last 10 years, your mentals?
Yes. That sounds right. Maybe. Well, I mean, I guess maybe. It's definitely post-college for me.
We want to make sure that his mentals are right, but questionable for tonight. No Ja, obviously. No Edie either tonight. Ja is still week to week. We did get an update on Ja yesterday, which said he was going to be getting more imaging Monday. Ja, of course, responded to Anthony Sane with a very hopeful, sooner than you think sort of message. So that was nice. He did that on Twitter. And Edie, it's an ankle. And we said we all saw that unfold against Denver the other day. And so no Zach Edey tonight. Marcus Smart is questionable with the crud. Didn't officially say crud in the injury report, but
Marcus has the I got kids, man.
That's what Drew Hill said. Drew Hill called it the crud. I got kids, man. So there you go. We'll talk to Chris. It was Chris straight up 10 o'clock. And then fish on Friday on Tuesday. This is a big day in the world of fishermen. Because you know what we had today, Jeffrey?
What do we have today? Do we have earnings reports?
Yes, but we always, no sports talk show in America. This is something I'm very confident to state. No sports talk show in America spends as much time talking about earnings report as this one. But this earnings report is particularly near and dear. It's one that he looks forward to every quarter. It's one that he is, it's in his sweet spot. It is the
Walmart
earnings report. Stay tuned for that. The Walmart earnings report. So there you go. Spoiler alert, Walmart did pretty well.
No way.
Yeah. In a time when people are worried about inflation and yet the American economy is kind of rolling along, Walmart did very, very well. But we'll talk to Charles about that and everything else. By the way, we got a little international news, because did you see that Biden is letting Ukraine use these long-range missiles now to fire deep into Russia?
Yes.
Which seems, because we know that Trump is much less of a Ukraine dude, mm-hmm, right? I'm breaking this down. Sorry for my big words. He's much more of a Ukraine dude. It feels a little, I don't know, a little like, all right, I'm leaving. Throw everything you can at him before I'm gone. Doesn't that a little lame duck,
let the kids have some fun, last day of school.
Something substitute teacher stuff going on. I don't know, whatever. Maybe that'll come up as well. But that's the lineup. We got Chris Harrington, and then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. But the news yesterday, Jeffrey, was, I don't know how shocking it was.
It was Black Monday in the AAC.
It was Black Monday in the AAC as Tom Herman gets whacked and Vic Poggi, is that right?
Biff Poggi.
Biff Poggi gets whacked. I was so focused on the Poggi part, mm-hmm, that I inadvertently called him Vic as opposed to Biff. He's definitely a Biff. There's no question he's a Biff. He's been a Biff from word one. Anyway, he gets whacked. Tom Herman, of course, is whacked. This is in the wake of the Temple game.
Yes. I do think, and feel free, y'all, if you're out there, I don't know if we've ever had a game in a regular season where both coaches got fired.
During the regular season.
Correct.
That's the thing. Temple defeated Florida Atlantic, and Stan Drayton, the Temple coach, got whacked first, the winner, and then the loser, Tom Herman, also got whacked.
Correct. So, I do remember there was an Egg Bowl where Matt Lute got fired. But, Penn State offense coordinator, Joe Moorhead didn't get fired till later.
I see. So, but they both were fired after
Correct.
The Egg Bowl, but it wasn't immediately after the Egg
Correct.
Bowl.
Correct. Anyway, it was the final game of the season.
And obviously this is all accelerated now because of portal stuff. Why waste time?
Well, you also, Jeff, you got to get ahead of the market.
You got to get ahead of, well, particularly if this is what you have to offer, right? You know.
Oh, boy.
So this brings to five the number of AAC coaches who have been fired. But more importantly, poor Owls, man.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there for an Owl.
Because FAU,
yep,
they're the Owls.
Yep.
Tom Herman, gone.
Yep.
Temple,
yep,
they're Owls. The Owls. Stan Drayton, gone. Rice,
Owls.
I do believe.
They are Owls.
Also gone. So you've got.
You forgot another one, Jeff.
Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw State. Owl.
First, I was just saying in conference.
Yeah.
But then you've got Kennesaw State, Owls. Jeffrey, I don't want to bring this close to home. What is the nickname of your high school team, the team that you do the play-by-play for?
What is the Owls?
The Owls!
And what are the Owls?
See, looking around?
Year one, listen, we're still safe. We improved as the year went on. I think we're safe.
And I'll say this, within the last month on the Sea Isle Facebook page,
yep,
someone posted a photo of a beautiful, magnificent, dead owl.
Dead?
Dead! It was a dead owl. What it probably did was ate someone's rat poison, right?
Yeah.
Or ate the rat. I'm sorry,
it's
that ate the rat poison.
It's just tough out there for the owls right now.
It's a regular whodunit.
Yeah.
So we've got all the owls have been just wiped out. Save the owls.
Yes.
Is the first phenomenon here.
Well, then didn't we have that? We had that owl in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he died. I've
forgotten his name.
Owl,
yeah.
That,
it's been tough out here.
It's been a
2024
really,
was not great for owls.
Not the year of the owl.
Yeah.
Not at all. I love an owl.
I mean, obviously,
don't
I have to.
Don't you love an owl?
I mean, I have to.
Okay, but even apart from that.
Yes, obviously.
Walking, when Claire and I walk the dogs at night, and there's actually quite a lot of trees over in our neck of the woods. Memphis generally has a lot of trees. And to hear the owls call it, chatting back and forth, I think it's spectacular.
Calling the owls?
There was once an owl over at High Point Terrace that was attacking joggers.
Mm. Okay, those are not my favorite owls. I do not condone that.
It was, well, you couldn't hear them because they, you know, all of a sudden, boom, hit you in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, these owls are going extinct in the conference. And so there you go. The other bit of news here, apart from the owl trivia, is this is an owl. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five AAC coaches who have been whacked during the regular season in college football. And by the way, that doesn't include Trent Dilfer.
That's true.
Who may be as bad as any of them.
Although it sounds like they have money problems.
So they may not be able to.
Right.
I will not be able to fire
Correct.
Trent Dilfer. So the question then is, and I bring this back to Memphis and Ryan Silverfield, because you could spin this either way. You could say, you think 9 wins is impressive? 9 wins is impressive in a conference where it's so bad, the conference is so bad that freaking 5 of the coaches have been fired in the regular season. It is, as we said and have said, a joke of a conference. It's why Memphis should be doing whatever it can to get out. It's why there was the enthusiasm for the pack, even if it wasn't real and even if the ultimate decision was fine. It's why we saw the upwelling of excitement about something other than the AAC. The conference stinks. So any record that is earned in the conference also has to, you're wildly suspicious of. It's a terrible conference. I don't know. Have we had a conference before with 5 coaches fired at the end of the year?
I mean, the SEC's done this.
5?
Yeah, but what makes this so unique to your point is that in a year where almost all power schools are being extremely cautious, like, and they're looking for any reason possible to keep their coaches, we're seeing the AAC going like, like we're moving on.
Well, what's interesting is all the openings across the country
are still in the
G5. FBS, yeah. Like there's Ball State, I think, is open.
Yeah, Matt, new.
Whatever. UMass is open.
Yes.
Utah State and Fresno both have interims.
Correct.
But there's literally not a single power coach. Power five, is that true? Power five?
That's true. So there was a report last week out of Arizona that if needed, Arizona would be able to fire Brent Brennan after year one.
So why? Okay, some of it's just the money, right? Some of it's just the money, but that's not unique. Like
all of it is based on house settlement money because they think the form, they think that they're going to have to make these payments here in the next 6 months.
I also wonder if some of it is, I do think that's the biggest thing, but I do wonder if some of it is, if you're worried about whatever at Florida losing your quarterback or whatever, if you're worried in the age of the portal, how disruptive a coaching change can be.
Yeah.
Although Indiana has just shown that you can rebuild pretty damn fast if you have the right guy.
Well, to me, like that's what you're going to start to see. I think this is going to be the end of the coordinator hire for the most part. You're going to have to go hire a coach that's at another school and he can bring players. You know what I mean? Like Indiana in the end brings
players
in.
Players with you.
Correct. And John Sumrall brought a lot of players from Troy. That was a good Troy team. And guess what? All of a sudden, lo and behold, like Tulane's just fine.
But is it also possible, this is just a theory I'm thinking about, man, that in the group of five, you know that your best players are really in a probably going to leave anyway because you're a group of five and they're going to be paid to go to a Power Five school. So this whole idea of continuity, there is no continuity at a group of five in particular because all your best players can be picked off anyway. Now, some of them stick around. Seth Hennigan stayed at Memphis, whatever. There are some that stick around. But you're not creating a – you're not – keeping a core, you're not retaining a core at the group of five level necessarily anyway. So go ahead and make the change.
I certainly think that's a part of it. I also think another huge part of it, as we're talking about like the landscape in its entirety, we're now hitting a point of donor fatigue. The same people that you're hitting up to keep the roster together are the same people that you'd be hitting up to pass the hat to fire the coach, to go get the new coach. So,
but at the group of five, there's even fewer donors who are poorer.
Right,
so why are they making changes?
Well, you're not even that worried about it. Because like, in the end, a lot of these coaches, it's like, all right, well, their buyouts are going to be structured in a way that is much more manageable. But you're not really worried about paying to maintain your roster because you're not really paying a ton to begin with.
All right, back to the central question, though.
Okay.
So in terms of how this reflects on Ryan Silverfield. The one argument is, come on, man, you're telling me he's got 9 wins. What a meaningless stat, given that the conference is so bad, maybe even worse than we said. They've got 5 coaches who fired already and maybe more to come.
But he only played 2 of them.
That's true. Don't get in my way of my argument.
We never let facts get in the way of the
other argument is this.
Stability?
Hey, dude. Maybe you shouldn't be so critical of Ryan Silverfield winning 9 games. It's not that easy to win in the group of five. Here is a guy who wins double-digit games last year, who was already won 9 this year. You look around at Florida Atlantic, at Charlotte, at Temple, at East Carolina, at Rice. They'd all freaking be thrilled with a coach who would win 8 games, for heaven's sakes. Maybe you shouldn't be so damn critical of a coach who is winning 9 games, who is, yes, creating stability for your program, when we see it's not that easy. Tom Herman goes to FAU, where, by the way, Lane Kiffin had success, goes to FAU.
In CUSA.
And falls on his face. Again, I'm not asking to pick apart these arguments yet. So those are the fundamental, the two ways of looking at it is one.
Two framings.
Yes. Which framing, do you subscribe to either framing in particular?
I definitely do not subscribe to the second one because the second one, 3 of those 5 schools were transitioning from one league to another. And so those jobs are probably much better in a worse league like CUSA. Then when you get them into this league, it's not as good of a job. Temple is one of those jobs that is just not going to transition with the time. So it's an impossible job. And then East Carolina, okay, like if you want to use East Carolina as an example, like, hey, that's a school with tradition. That's a school that cares. Like they
traditionally has a better football program than Memphis.
Correct. Okay, so that's one out of five that I'll listen to. I think the bigger problem, though, is you look at Tulane, they're going to go to their third straight conference championship game. We're not asking here. It's not the standard for Ryan is not every single year win the league, but this was the gear up year.
I know. Let's do this just because we, and I felt bad about it at the end. And I this Jeff Calkins show poll is not going to get as nearly as many hits as the quarterback one. Which, by the way, who won that? Do you know? Did Paxton Lynch win?
I believe Paxton won. Give me two seconds to double check.
We did. Who's the in the post Larry Porter era? Who was the greatest quarterback to play for the Memphis Tigers? And when I last checked, it was, we got a lot of feedback on this, by the way. And then people did take it back all the way to sort of suggest where Danny Wimprine would fit in there and where Steve Matthews would fit in there, and et cetera.
So Paxton won with 41.9% of the vote.
Uh-huh.
Brady White second with 31.3%. Riley Ferguson third with 19.4%. Seth 7.5% of the vote.
Okay, so in the end, I did feel bad sort of even asking the question because there's Seth with 7.5% of the vote, and he shouldn't feel like he's a 7.5% quarterback, period. He did good things here at Memphis. So just to be fair, Jeffrey, just to sort of tease out what people think about the success of the last 15 years, who's the best coach in the post-Larry Porter tenure at Memphis? And the choices are one, Justin Fuente, two, Mike Norvell, and three, Ryan Silverfield. Let's ask that. Obviously, Ryan's not going to win that for the reasons we've discussed, right? I'll be interested to see how many votes he gets, how many people do appreciate the work that he's done. And I think Norvell will win, but I think there will be surprising appreciation of Justin Fuente for having turned the thing around.
I think Mike's going to win pretty convincingly because in the end, Mike does have a title. I do think that you're right.
Justin has a title.
I thought it was division.
Was it division title?
I don't even think they played in the championship game.
Do they even have a championship game?
That's a good question.
I think he won I think he at least shared a division.
But he didn't get the big game.
Like, I don't know.
They lost the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was when they lost the kick in Houston.
This is not my strength. If George Lapidus were here, he would like be rattling right off. And some of you people I don't know. But let's go ahead and let's fire that sucker up and see.
It is live.
It's already live. That was quick work. Let's see here. All right. There we go. I really did appreciate Justin's work here, but I still got to go, Mike. So
the AAC title game started in 2015. Houston and Temple played in that game. So let me look up 2014.
Was that not? Anyway, okay. That poll is live. You can go ahead and vote in it. The other thing, obviously, tonight we have the rankings, the playoff rankings to come out, Jeffrey. And I have although I do believe that the order of the SEC teams will be Texas 1. It will be Alabama 2, Georgia 3,
Ole Miss 4, Tennessee 5.
I think so. You think so?
I can buy that.
How about, it's very clear that Texas's record is fraudulent relative to everybody else's. Totally fraudulent. It's kind of amazing.
I think, I'm of the camp. I'm in full agreement. I also think they are the most vulnerable because I think if they do not win against A&M,
they can just drop right the hell out.
I think the reason why they are getting put where they are is because they simply lead the SEC.
Oh, I think that's right. That's why they are where they are. Here's my question, though. Is it not possible, like Georgia gets immense credit for A, the strength of schedule, and B, then the wins that they have,
yeah.
Right?
They have the number one strength of schedule of any team in the country.
Is it not? Of course, they lost to Alabama and they lost to Ole Miss. And I could make an argument that the wins that are their signature wins, they're over three teams that honestly are not as good as Alabama or Ole Miss. Tennessee, we've seen their struggles, right? We've seen their struggles. We saw them again this weekend. It's a good team. It's a good team. But I don't think, like, and then you got a Clemson win, and then you got a Texas win that's fraudulent. Those are their wins. When they played Alabama and when they played Ole Miss, they lost them both. So they get credit for the strength of schedule for playing them. They lost those the games. And the Tennessee, Clemson, and Texas teams are elite teams. They're very good teams. But they, I think you can say maybe they're just a half step below. Their quality wins are a half step below.
So I get what you're saying.
Is there any argument there or no?
I get what you're saying. The problem is inherently baked into this concept is the best win is beating Georgia. So Georgia doesn't get to play itself.
Well, that,
you see what I'm saying? Like, because everyone kind of acknowledges if you beat Georgia, that's a good win. But Georgia doesn't get the opportunity to play itself.
The most important questions tonight are, one, there's that one. How do the SEC teams fall? And in particular, where does Tennessee fall?
Yes.
And I haven't seen anyone make an argument that Tennessee will be in.
No, I think even Tennessee fans are resigned to the formula is either getting five SEC teams in or have Ole Miss.
And that won't be tonight.
Correct.
And that wouldn't tonight, I haven't seen anyone say, I think they're going to be in. I think you people are misunderstanding the committee. They are not going to be in tonight.
I think they're Gator fans.
Yeah, no, right. So tonight, so you're basically Gator fans. You're rooting for Florida to beat Ole Miss.
Yes.
And you're Ohio State fans.
Yes.
And that's about it. You couldn't be, you can if
US,
you
want. I would say you could be a USC fan.
USC fan, Notre Dame.
Yep.
And you could also be a Texas A&M fan, but we don't know where that's going to get you.
Or I guess technically you'd be an Army fan.
I guess technically you could be an Army fan, have them beat Notre Dame. Interesting, though. We did see there are three undefeated teams left in the country. One is Army, and one is Indiana. They're both double-digit underdogs.
Correct.
So, and then the other one, of course,
is Oregon.
And so we may have one undefeated country. The other thing is, did you see the line of the Memphis game? It's like,
so I saw 14.5.
And some are surprised by that. Did that surprise you?
Not really, because Tulane is going to power rate much higher than Memphis. The one thing, though, is
Is it disrespectful?
I'll be curious to know if that line holds up. Because that's kind of a look-ahead line. So, because in the end, like, if Tulane's got nothing to play for in this game, because they have a title game the next week.
Do they have nothing to play for? Because,
I mean, I think...
Do they have some idea that if, you know, there might be some way they could get into the playoff? I don't think so.
Their way into the playoff is to have Boise lose at some point and then win out. What I don't know is... Is it possible that they could wind up being the home team in the title game?
I see. Plus, it's senior day, presumably, right?
Yes.
Senior day, all of that. They're not going to be resting people.
No, but like, what if you get into the fourth quarter and you're up?
Right.
You're up two or three scores, like, and you just kind of like, let's get out of here, and then Memphis can backdoor cover.
So that's the most significant thing I think that we're going to be looking for. And then the second thing that people will be looking for is. Will Boise rank over BYU?
Yeah.
And the ESPN projection said that. The ESPN projection this morning had Boise getting a bye. I don't believe that. But
You can talk me into it. I mean, the thing is, it's like, I still think if BYU wins out and wins the title game.
They will get the bye.
Correct. And I actually think if Colorado wins out,
they will get the bye. So yes. If even if Boise is there tonight... It doesn't mean that they will stay there.
Yes.
Because they don't, yeah. Does the thing seem a little ridiculous to you? And I'm not ever been a, everything should belong to the most powerful conferences. But if you are the SEC commissioner or you're the fan of any SEC school and you look up and you see, right now, let's just say it's Miami and Boise. I mean, Miami and BYU.
Okay.
Getting first-round buys. Does that make you think this system's stupid? Because, come on, man. Seriously? Do we think Miami and BYU are among the
I'm not going to say stupid because, like, when we get into the, like, we've seen 7-9 NFL teams host a playoff game. Like, famously, the Seahawks hosting this. Like, we're trying to reward you for winning your conference.
Well, and in fairness, yeah, we're trying to actually acknowledge that and not sort of rape every other conference of meaning. We're trying to actually have meaningful football in conferences all across the country. I don't normally acknowledge that the SEC or the Big Ten believe in that necessarily, but I think they should. And so rewarding the ACC or rewarding the Big 12 and therefore creating this sense that those places actually matter and quality football can be played there and giving recruits a reason to go, you know, giving them a,
yep.
I think is a positive thing, even if the result in terms of who's getting a bye might look a little preposterous on a given year.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. Poll is up. Jeffrey, who's winning our poll?
Jeff, let's see how many votes we have tallied, because I think your instinct that this is not going to be...
It's not going to get as many. It's not going to...
We've got 65 votes so far.
Already.
The Jeff Calkins Show poll today is, who is the best Tiger football coach in the post-Larry Porter era? With 80% of the vote, 65 votes tallied so far, Mike Norvell is one. 16.9% say Justin Fuente. 3.1% say Ryan Silverfield.
Well, there you go. You may vote. You may vote early, vote often. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, play Believe It or Not on the other side. If you're selling your house, you should call Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. I say that with real confidence. Phone number is 901-461-8147. Josh has thebuyers.com. I met with him when I started doing these spots, took over from Gary, and I had just heard Josh talking about you know, his how he sells houses. But then you meet with him, honestly, and I would suggest this is true when you meet with him. When you meet with him, you will come away convinced that he's the person who should sell your house. Believes in marketing. You hear him on this radio show. He marks your house. He will market your house aggressively as well. The hope is to get multiple offers so you don't have to be settling for some lowball offer. Josh will also, by the way, offer flexible fees, no upfront cost, let you out your contract at any time, risk-free. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. That's back in a moment with Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The NBA is rolling on, and FanDuel, America's number one sports book, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is to place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. It is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. After a three-month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not. Jeffrey, the deal that is going to put Inside the NBA on ESPN is win-win for ESPN and for TNT.
I do believe that. I also believe, most importantly, it's actually a win for the fans, because by doing it the way that they're doing it, which is they're essentially sub-licensing it out, TNT gets complete creative control, and we're not going to see what I have always feared, which is when ESPN gets their hands on a product,
they're
going to
insert Stephen A. Smith and the
well,
rest aside
from that, it's like it just becomes checklisty. Like it's like, all right, everybody gets their own shot. But what we've been seeing more and more of under Jimmy Pitaro at ESPN is he goes and basically, instead of growing his own talent, like he goes and he buys the talent and he lets them do it. Like the McAfee, I think at one point when Aaron Rodgers suggested that Jimmy Kimmel was going to be on the Epstein list, they couldn't have Aaron Rodgers on the show for a little bit, but that's really been about the only thing. And
no,
other than
it's
that,
the details of the trade are as follows. By the way, so you know, TNT supposedly exercised its matching rights to keep the NBA, but the NBA was never going to stay with TNT, so they were in this stare off, whatever else. And in the meantime, you wondered what was going to happen to what is the most popular pregame show, studio show in any sport. Right?
I think it's the best studio show ever.
Yeah. So so what do you do? Like, do you just sacrifice the show? Do you, like, is it, we had Barclays, all that last year, we had the I'm going to retire or whatever else, all that stuff. So what they did, Jimmy Pitaro, who is head of ESPN, he traded. Big deal, Jeffrey. Big dream. And I hadn't even, you know, Shams didn't break this.
No, Wall Street Journal, I believe.
13 Big 12 football games and 15 Big 12 basketball games went to TNT, and the studio show goes to ESPN. And as you point out, Inside the NBA will still be produced by TNT. The studios will still be in, like, just going to do it the way they do it, and it's just going to be telecast on ESPN. And it is... You're exactly right. It is a break from how they used to do it. But recently, what have we seen? The Manning Cast, right? The Manning Cast is produced by Omaha.
Yep.
Out of Denver, right? Isn't that where?
So Eli's place is in Jersey, right. And the main studio that,
yeah,
that Peyton's in Denver.
Yes, in Denver. So you have that. You have Pat McAfee. Has his show in Indianapolis, and there's not creative, again, much less creative control than is typical. And then, honestly, you're talking about not raising his own talent, brings Joe Buck and Troy Aikman over, right? Like, that's a little different because they are ESPN employees now, and that is produced by ESPN. But it's the same thing. They're like, we know we are not any longer as they were probably when you were growing up.
Yep.
It was just, you had to go to ESPN. Everyone had ESPN on. ESPN was the only place to go to get your sports every day. Now, there's a whole world of places, mostly just on your phone. And so they're like, we need to compete. We just need to have the best talent. And so they don't care where the hell they get their best talent from. It's a little bit like the way the Rams built their Super Bowl team. You know, they didn't need to draft.
Well, I mean, to your point, we didn't even mention it. Signing Saban, you know?
Yeah, same thing. They want the best talent, and people aren't just going to turn on ESPN because it's ESPN. You want the best talent. And so it was clearly a win for the fans, and I think you're right. That's where that's what's most important. I think it's a win for ESPN because, honestly, they have not been successful. NBA Countdown has never been anywhere near the same quality, right?
No. I mean, to me, like, I was trying to go back. I don't even remember the last time that ESPN/ABC had a good studio show for the NBA.
And then it's a win for TNT because TNT is not getting out of the world of sports, and now they're going to have...
They need an inventory.
They need more inventory. So it's like rebuilding. You know, you get a lot of assets back. You trade your best player, but you're getting a lot of assets back as you're rebuilding. So I do think it was win-win. You could tell, Jeffrey, watching the Manning Cast last night, that Bill Belichick is going to end up as coach of the Cowboys.
So,
you are, of course,
I'm an avid watcher
of the Manning Cast. It was not much of a football game. How was it?
So, if you were a Cowboys fan and you wanted to dream and speculate of Bill Belichick being your coach, he did mention the player personnel department, what a great job that Dallas does. And he even threw this one
actually,
in there.
By the way, not wrong.
No, you and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
But this is what I was surprised by. You know, it's headed up by Stephen Jones. Does a great job. So he was even like...
He threw a bone to Stephen Jones.
Correct.
By name checked him.
Correct. So if you're trying to like read into the signs, and if you're a Cowboys fan right now, like I understand you're looking for any semblance of hope, that would be it. I can't figure out what I think would be the best spot for him. I kind of like the idea of him in Jacksonville.
What spots do we or will we have?
All right, so we know we have the Jets. That's not happening.
No, that is definitely
not happening.
He has lit fire to that franchise multiple times. So we have that. We know we have the Jets.
We presume we're going to have the Cowboys. Cowboys.
I guess we presume we're going to have the Bears.
Bears.
We presume we're going to have Jacksonville.
Jags. All right.
Wait, we have New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yes. Yeah, sorry. I was like, I thought that there's one more. When we announced the Dennis Allen firing, we'd forgotten about Salah, but now I'm doing the backwards. So New Orleans. All right. Now let's do the speculative ones. All right. We could throw the Giants in there.
Yeah.
We could throw, I think the Raiders are probably going to be in there.
Yep.
All right, I'm trying to think. AFC West, not Chargers, not Broncos, obviously not Chiefs, and then we threw the Raiders.
Not Browns?
Maybe, but Stefanski is well-respected as a coach, although I'm not as big as a fan. Love his dad, though. Maybe Browns, okay, and then the NFC South or AFC South. I mean, I guess you could talk me into if the Bucks miss the playoffs again.
All right, so of these places, Jets, Cowboys, Bears, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Giants, Raiders.
So I kind of think the Jags job is intriguing. Shad Khan, I think, makes the wrong decisions, but I think his process
it is intriguing.
I think he wants to win. He just picks the wrong people.
I don't know if they have a quarterback or not, but they might. You could talk yourself into the fact that they have a quarterback, and although, my God, his stats have been bad. If you compare him, like, he's been dreadful.
No, I agree, but I also think that if Belichick were to come in there, I think he could kind of do what we're seeing, what Herbert is doing with Harbaugh, which is, hey, we're not putting the ball in your hands 50-something times a game. What we're going to do is we're going to build a tough football team. We're going to run the football. You're going to be a play-action guy, and we're going to use your athleticism. And essentially,
of this also is he going to have a pick? Like, he wouldn't pick the Giants. Why would he pick the Giants? He wouldn't have no interest in going. They stink, right?
No, the only thing with the Jags, you got to get Balky out of there. Balky sucks. That guy, like... Who clearly the Niners picked him over Harbaugh. Who should they have picked?
Yes, no, that's the wrong choice. And then the Raiders stink. Like, why would he want to go to the Raiders if he didn't?
So the Raiders is
Brady stuff.
The Brady stuff and like trying to do that again, but man,
doesn't seem like that's a recipe.
I guess if you want to spin zone for the Raiders, even though they don't have a quarterback, you're going to have the pick to possibly get.
Would you be happy if you were a Cowboys fan if he went there? Would you want him to be the head coach? I think you might, because he would have enough clout to stand up to Jerry.
Okay, the question, though, that I have with the Cowboys is, do they have too much money tied up into kind of meh players?
They have maybe too much money in meh players to be elite, but I don't think they have too much money in meh players to get back to being the team that would win a bunch of games and lose in the playoffs, which is probably good enough for Belichick. He just wants to break the record, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
He didn't have to get back to the Super Bowl.
Other question is, I don't know, like, is Bill Belichick, like, Jerry doesn't pay for coaches. Is Belichick going to go to the highest bidder? Is he going to, like,
anything else interesting on Manicast?
When they were coming up with a game plan for the Cowboys, it was like, what do you do to when you have a really bad quarterback? It was like quick passes. They were not enjoying the Cooper Rush experience. That's the other thing, though. I kept thinking about the Texans, like, that was the least impressive blowout win I think I've seen this year.
It's funny. There's a lot of teams that people had high opinion of coming into this year who have just – the next hot team, and maybe this is often the case, in the AFC, it was the Texans.
Yep.
And they've disappointed. Now, they've had injuries, but they've clearly disappointed. And then the NFC, I think it was the Bears, and they've fallen on their face. And I never bought it. I never bought it because rookie quarterback. I'm just not going to assume pencil-in playoff team for a rookie, no matter how many talented players he was supposedly surrounded by. So I never bought the Bears as the hot new team.
Well, I mean, you know how like it's ended up not mattering, but like this idea that just because Stephon Diggs went to the Texans, that was going to be some type of like major addition. The big thing for the Texans last night is you get Nico Collins
back.
That's
a huge, huge.
But he's still kind of running for his life.
What did the Manning cast say about the touchdown that was wiped out by the crappy
the very first play?
The Tunsil play.
They were very confused as what the call was because it was even though it was an ineligible man downfield, they're like, well, wasn't the ball thrown backwards? Like,
I think they said that Tunsil was blocking, but he
so he's covered up, maybe.
Yeah, it was unclear. All right, and by the way, we did get the drama from the roof yesterday at AT&T Stadium, and I didn't realize they keep stats on this, Jeffrey. So they were opening the roof yesterday because they were trying to change things up.
Yeah, they're trying to get some new energy.
It turns out that
let God get involved
with the closed roof. They once had a 16-game home winning streak and they never opened the roof because why would you mess with the energy, right? And so now, like, what the hell?
Let's change it up.
They try to open the roof, and a piece of metal falls down, and so they immediately close the roof. We have stats on this.
Bail.
They are 50-32 with the roof and the doors. And doors are another thing closed.
Yeah, okay? the things in the back. Yeah,
everything closed. They're 50-32. With everything open, the roof open, the doors open, they are 12-11. They are 2-5 with the roof open and the doors closed.
Roof open, doors closed. All right.
But they're clearly their secret weapon is roof closed, doors open. Then they are 10-3. Then they are a blistering 10-3.
What was the stat last night? That was their first home touchdown since September. I think Eli had a stat that dating back to the playoff game against the Packers, they've had a 20-point deficit in every home game.
The Chiefs are America's team.
I don't believe that. They might be America's most watched team.
Well, they're clearly America's most watched team.
Yes.
But you don't think they're beloved?
No, I do not.
But they're not hated the way the Patriots are hated. We're hated.
Yeah, so I think there's a key difference. Chiefs fans get whiny, like, you know, like, whereas Patriots fans were abrasive, like they couldn't wait to win just to give it to you. Whereas Chiefs fans are like, why are you not talking more about Mahomes? Like, what do you want to say? He's the greatest player alive. Like, I don't know what else he wants, but they get very whiny and they're very, very sensitive.
And then, of course, there's so many dynamics there now.
There's Mahomes, the arrests.
No one thinks about the arrests. They probably should think more about the arrests, but they don't. There's the Taylor Swift stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a backlash against the Taylor Swift stuff. Does that make them more beloved or less beloved? They clearly are not. They have not replaced. The Chiefs thing, once Mahomes is gone, it's just going to fade away. It's going to be like it's going to be like when Brady left the Pats, fade away. It's not going to be like the Steelers and the Cowboys, which were enduring. Jeffrey, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams, but only 7 teams whose season will be a failure if they do not make the Super Bowl. And here are the 7 teams.
All right.
You can believe it or not. Ready? The Ravens, the Chiefs, the Lions, the Eagles, the 49ers, the Ravens, and the Bills.
Okay, you said Ravens twice. So still 7?
Six. Ravens, Chiefs, Lions, Eagles, 49ers, and Bills. Those are the teams their season will be a failure if they do not win the Super Bowl. And there's no other team for whom that qualifies.
So I'm going to say I don't believe it, and I'm only going to the NFC because I think the NFC is playing for second. And I think everyone's kind of resigned to that fact.
So you don't think the Eagles, so you are taking out the Eagles and the 49ers.
Yes.
You think if they end up losing in the conference championship game, they could say successful season.
Yes.
For the 49ers?
Yeah, because if you would have, like, let's take a look at where they are. Like, to me, the question is, are the Niners this year where the Bills were last year about this time?
So you would have said at the start of the season, it would have been a failure if they don't go to the Super Bowl. But because of what has happened, you've reevaluated
the way,
your expectations.
The way the season's played out, their injuries, whatnot.
At this point, getting to the
correct.
I think that's right.
If they can get it together and get to, like,
how about the Eagles? Eagles have been to the Super Bowl before. They're.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just like
resurrecting last year's flop.
Right. I think it's.
I think you're right. I don't think
back
it's a failure. I don't think it's a pass fail for them. Okay. They were making the argument on unsportsmanlike, Canty was, that the Lions don't have to go to the Super Bowl for their season not to be a failure because the history of the Lions has been so pathetic that the whole thing's basically a free shot.
Yeah, but when you lose like they did last year in the NFC Championship game where you had, what was it, a 3-touchdown lead? I mean, what was it, 24-7? I think it was 24-7. So you had a 17-point lead, and you're now clearly the NFC favorite. Heck, for the first time in franchise history, you're the Vegas favorite to win the Super Bowl. Like, things things have changed.
So the only team that has to make it to the Super Bowl in the NFC to be a failure is Detroit.
Yeah. Because how many more shots do you get when you're the clear-cut favorite?
And then in the AFC, the team that has to make it to the Super Bowl or it'll be a failure, and there's no other team. So I'm not counting the Chargers here, for example. I'm not counting the Steelers here, for example. I'm not counting, I don't know who else is decent.
Texans.
The Texans. It's the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bills. Pass, fail. Do you get to the Super Bowl? If so, you pass. If not, you fail.
Yeah, and there's obviously one key difference with one of those three teams. Like, yeah, the Chiefs season could
be
a failure.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't, like,
it's great. You have won so much that you're allowed to fail.
You're in Patriots territory where your season
doesn't matter.
Your season starts in the playoffs.
It's really not a failure. No. It's just this year we didn't win it.
Correct.
You guys have fun. We'll be back next year.
Yeah, see you next year.
Yeah, you're right. It's not even pass fail for them. So there's really, you think there's only two teams. Do you include the Ravens?
Yes. And the reason why I say there's only really two is I would probably include the Steelers, but the Steelers it's been so long since they've won a playoff game. I think if you told them, hey, you're going to win the division and you'll win a playoff game or two, all of a sudden, I think everybody's comfortable.
And as good as it's gone with Russ, it's still, he is not the caliber of Josh, Lamar.
Did you really think you were going into a playoff game and going to win with him?
No.
But I think, though, the other reason why I would say it's even more so with Buffalo and with the Ravens this year, it's like, man, yet again, like, this kind of feels like a shaky Chiefs team. Like, it's still going to be the Chiefs when we get to the playoffs, but, you know, this is a beatable version of the Chiefs.
Partly because of the injuries, too.
Injuries, now, you know, are they going to be, like, maybe it works out where the Bills get, like, they've had all their injury bad luck, and this is the year they get healthy.
We also don't know. There's a bunch of weeks left to come. We don't know who's going to be healthy. Who's going to be healthy. At the end. All right, well, we got Chris Harrington coming up next. If you are looking for a new financial institution, if you're looking for a home loan or an auto loan, just check out Leaders Credit Union. I've been really impressed. You know, in the end, they come here because they want to advertise, but we subsequently, Claire and I, opened an account there, and they've been terrific. Technology's great. People are wonderful. We walked into the one in Bartlett and opened an account there, but they have another branch in Arlington. Honestly, all you got to do is download the app and sign up online because the technology is fabulous. It's a credit union, so they pour all their money right back into the things they do. There's no stockholders who need to get paid. And so whether it's better technology, whether it's better rates, whether it's their involvement in the community, we constantly are getting updates from the things that Leaders is doing in the community. All absolutely first rate. So if you're frustrated with your bank, maybe it's changed names 17 different times, or maybe there's a whole bunch of fees that irritate you, check out Leaders Credit Union. It's leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment with Chris Harrington. Grizz tonight, it's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.